From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues his treatment of the seventh commandment, Thou shalt not commit adultery. As we've already seen, the basis of this commandment is the uniqueness and sanctity of marriage. Having established the marriage covenant himself, God requires marital fidelity and purity. Further, this command extends beyond the marriage partners to protecting the purity of one's neighbor. Believers are commanded to avoid all appearance of evil. Moral impurity begins in the mind, so the Bible commands us to guard our thoughts. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, please listen to this brief selection from C.H. Spurgeon's devotional collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Justice Satisfied. The text is Exodus chapter 12 and verse 13. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. My own sight of the precious blood is for my comfort, but it is the Lord's sight of it which secures my safety. Even when I am unable to behold it, the Lord looks at it and passes over me because of it. If I am not so much at ease as I ought to be, because my faith is dim, yet I am equally safe, because the Lord's eye is not dim, and He sees the blood of the great sacrifice with steady gaze. What a joy is this! The Lord sees the deep inner meaning, the infinite fullness of all that is meant by the death of His dear Son. He sees it with restful memory of justice satisfied, and all His matchless attributes glorified. He beheld creation in its progress, and said, It is very good. But what does He say of redemption in its completeness? What does He say of the obedience even unto death of His well-beloved Son? None can tell His delight in Jesus, His rest in the sweet savor which Jesus presented when He offered Himself without spot unto God. Now rest we in calm security. We have God's sacrifice and God's Word to create in us a sense of perfect security. He will, He must pass over us, because He spared not our glorious substitute. Justice joins hands with love to provide everlasting salvation for all the blood-besprinkled ones.
Serving God of all.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're glad that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We continue to receive encouraging responses to these broadcasts, and your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you would be interested in learning more about the Free Presbyterian Church, you might like to receive a copy of our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, which briefly sets out the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church. That, and any other literature we offer on these broadcasts, is free for the asking. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you might like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In addition to the regular programs, the website contains video clips of Dr. Cairns answering questions regarding various issues, such as what is the gospel, how is the death of Christ relevant in the 21st century, and can you be sure you're saved? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
having noticed its basis, let's for a moment think upon the breadth or the scope of the seventh commandment. If you have read the 71st and 72nd answers in the Shorter Catechism, you will know that the seventh commandment requires the preservation of our own and our neighbor's chastity in heart, speech, and behavior. And it forbids all unchaste words, thoughts, and actions. Now, at first this seems to go far beyond the seventh commandment, which after all says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." You may well ask the question, how do we get from a law governing marriage morality to a law of universal chastity? Well, it's not too difficult, really. It should be obvious that God does not intend to restrict chastity to married people. That should be obvious to anybody. Furthermore, it should be clear that premarital unchastity is a threat to the uniqueness and to the holiness of the marriage bond. John Calvin went to the heart of the seventh commandment, and this is what he said. As the law under which man was created was not to lead a life of solitude, but enjoy a help meet for him, the Lord made the requisite provision for us in this respect by the institution of marriage, which He has sanctioned with His blessing. Hence, it is evident that any mode of cohabitation different from marriage is cursed in His sight. And I think that brings you to the heart of the seventh commandment. Paul makes this very clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where at the beginning of the chapter he shows that marriage allows a physical union which would be utterly abominable and sinful outside of marriage. In verse 2 he says to avoid fornication or impurity. Now let me just interject there. Notice the burden for the Church of Christ to avoid impurity. It's no excuse that the society around us is rotten. That's the society in which Paul lived. It was vile, it was wicked, it was unchaste. But in the midst of all that moral perverseness, the great burden of the apostle's heart was that the people of God should avoid impurity. He said to avoid fornication or impurity, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. So the seventh commandment, according to Paul, demands chastity, not only in married people, but also in unmarried people. The seventh commandment disallows all cohabitation outside of the marriage bond. Anything else is sin. Now stop for a moment and think what this calls for. This calls for purity, first of all, of thought. Unchastity captures the mind before it ever finds expression in action. Remember what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 5, 27 and 28? You've heard it said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. The sin, first of all, is hatched in the mind. Sin is always like that. It storms the mind. Therefore, it is of prime importance to guard our minds. The Apostle Peter writes in his first epistle, chapter 1 and verse 13, Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. This is the language of someone getting ready to run an errand, to do a service. The reference is to the long flowing garments that they wore, and if you were going to run on a special errand, you would hitch up those garments under the girdle so that your legs would be unentangled and you'd be ready to run and do what you should do. Peter says if you're going to run for God, if you're going to work for God, if you're going to obey God, if you're going to be of any use to God, then you need to gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. And the word there again has to do with how you're going to think and look at things. Hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, listen, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he who hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation or in all manner of behavior, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Gird up the loins of your mind. How do you do that? How do you guard the mind, especially in an age like the one in which we live? It's supposed to be the communication age. Well, it certainly is, as far as the communication of everything vile and wretched is concerned. How do you guard the mind? Remember the words of Philippians chapter 4? Finally, brethren, verse 8 of that chapter. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. And obviously the meaning is, if there is no virtue, do not allow yourself to think upon it. If there is nothing of praise to God in it, or of good to you in it, do not even think upon it. If it's not true and honest and just and pure and lovely, then do not allow it entrance into your mind. Remember the oft-quoted saying, you can't stop a bird landing on your head, but you certainly can stop it building its nest there. Guard the mind. Purity commences in the mind. Purity must govern the mind. Otherwise, it will never be found anywhere else in the life. But equally, this commandment then calls for purity, not only in our thoughts, but in all that produces thought, either in ourselves or in others. The world is constantly bombarding our minds. It assaults our eyes and our ears in order to captivate the mind. It produces every sort of perverted philosophy in order to confuse us and lead us astray. Thus, we must be careful what we look at, what we listen to, what we read, where we go, with whom we do it. The psalmist said, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Again, in Psalm 119, there is the prayer, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. Quicken me in thy way. Do you notice how those two things are brought together? How are we to have our eyes turned away from beholding the obscene and the wicked, the lecherous and the unclean? By the quickening and the reviving touch of the Spirit of God. Ultimately, this battle is spiritual. It is only by the conquering power of spiritual life within us that we will overcome the most debased instincts of our fallen nature. Job said in chapter 31, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? I made a covenant with mine eyes. What a telling way to put it. We need to be careful what we look at or listen to or read or allow by any means to be introduced into our mind. And also, we need to be careful how we present ourselves to others. Remember, we're discussing this, that purity of thought is commanded by the commandment here. That's the law of God. But if God commands us to be pure in thought, then He commands us to be pure in relation to that which causes others to think. The Word of God calls for modesty of dress, and that for very good reason. Proverbs chapter 7 verse 10 speaks of the attire of an harlot. There is that brazenness, that self-show of the harlot seen in her dress. Sometimes even professing Christians dress just like that. Think of what Isaiah says in chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, making a tinkling with their feet. Therefore the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. What a shame when God has to speak to the daughters of His church and say, in effect, you are acting and walking and parading like harlots. Oh, but Lord, we haven't done this. We wouldn't go there. We wouldn't. Hold a second. You must be pure in your thoughts, but you must also ensure that you do not provoke impurity in the thoughts of others. Am I my brother's keeper? You'd better understand that you are. We may well adopt the words of Paul, which he was using spiritually, and we could take it not only spiritually, but very, very actually. As to the flesh, I am jealous over you, he says in 2 Corinthians 11. I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.